Hello, my lovers. Oh, that was a little bit sensual, wasn't it? Or is it a bit James Blunt? Goodbye, my lover. I'm not sure if any of you are old enough to remember who James Blunt is. I am currently 39 and I turned 40 this year, and I realize that I have hit an age where people who are younger than I am don't know what I'm talking about a lot of the time. And it is fairly alarming. I've had to do quite a bit of inner work on this and overcoming how I feel about being the person who is possibly old to people like, my daughter or my daughter's friends. My daughter's only 4 and my other daughter is 2. So I'm hoping this isn't a thing yet. Although the other day, Rosie, who's my 4-year-old, my oldest daughter, told my husband, Brendan, that he was embarrassing her. So I feel like it's only a moment until they decide that we are not cool enough for them. Let's get into today's episode. If you have been listening to the podcast for a little while, or even if this is your first time, if you enjoy this episode and if you've enjoyed previous episodes, if you could please hit subscribe or follow wherever you're listening. And if you really, really like it, if you could leave it a 5-star review, that would be amazing. If you don't like it, just stop and never come back and don't leave me a review. Anyway, that would be incredible. I really, really appreciate you guys coming here to listen every week, and your reviews and your following and subscribing and all of the listening and activity that you do really does help the podcast get out to more listening ears. And more importantly, it helps more people who want to be more productive, more present, and more focused. So, if I can help even one more person become a little more productive when they want to be and feel more focused and more in control of what happens to their time, because I think that is a big thing for a lot of us, is we feel like our time is not something we own. We feel like our time is out of our control. How many times have you gotten to the end of the day and looked back and kind of gone, oh my God, where did the day go? Or like, where is this week gone? And every year we get to the end of the year and we're like, 2024 just escaped me. So let's not get to the end of this year feeling like that. And even if we feel a little like that, let's make it a little bit less. Because I think control and ownership over our time is something that we often can feel like we have lost. But regaining that and getting it back can be simpler than we think. So that is my aim with this podcast. It is to help you feel a little bit more in control of your time and help you become more productive when you want to be productive, and not make your entire life about productivity, because Lord knows we don't want to do that. We're not machines, we're not robots, we are people, and we are here to be human. And that's why I talk about what I talk about. Hopefully that made sense to you. Or you can just tell me that I don't make sense anymore because I'm too old. Either way, maybe don't put that in your review. If you do want to share that with me, maybe just send me a DM and let me know. You can follow me on Instagram at cathunter.va. If you want to tell me how old you think I am, please be gentle. Please be nice. Anyway, this week, I wanted to give you guys an update on my 30-day phone challenge. So I challenged myself to improve my productivity by changing the way I use my phone over 30 days. So we are at day 6, people, day 6. And if you are doing the challenge along with me, I am really, really excited because we are all in this together. And I would love to hear how you guys have been going. So when I say improve my productivity by changing the way I use my phone, I mean improve how I am able to focus in any given period, improve my concentration, improve how present I am with whatever I happen to be doing at the time. Because what I've really noticed over the last probably 10 years, so in the time I have had a smartphone, bear in mind, guys, that smartphones were not a thing when I was in high school. I know for many of you they were, but for me they weren't. Smartphones were more a thing probably from the time that I moved to London. And I lived in London. I moved to London when I was sure it was in 2008. So what is that? Someone do the maths for me, guys. Can someone help me? It was 14 years ago? No, that's wrong. 2024 to 2008 is, that was 16 years ago. 16 years. Anyway, correct me if I'm wrong, guys. A long time ago, right? So when smartphones were a thing, I was already an adult. I'd been in the workforce for a long time. I had not really had anything to do with smartphones. I'd always had a phone, right? Phones were a thing in my day. Back in my day, phones were a thing. So when I was in high school, I had a Nokia something, probably a 3310. Nokia 3310 with Tetris, and I could text, and I had to, it was though when it, back in the day, you had to like contract your texts into, I can't remember how many characters it was, but anyway, one text was a certain number of characters, and if you went over the number of characters, it would be sent as two text messages and you would pay twice. So you did everything in your power to conserve your credit and consolidate the text into as few texts as possible. If you called someone, you had to be conscious of how long you're on the phone because you would be charged by the minute, just like the old-fashioned landline. So anyway, smartphones, relatively new in my lifetime, probably not so much in yours, depending on how old you are, or they could be, it could be really similar for you if you are my age or older. So I have noticed since I have owned a smartphone, and probably more recently, probably more so in the last 5 years, and definitely more so since I have started my own business and spend my time largely working by myself at home, my concentration and focus has been a big challenge for me. So maintaining focus and maintaining concentration, my capacity to do that has gone downhill, like way downhill. I'm talking like rolling ball of hay picking up speed as it reaches the bottom downhill. I don't know if you can visualize that, but if you can, that is how I feel my concentration and focus has plummeted. And the reason I wanted to do this challenge is because every single client of mine that I coach on productivity and that I help with productivity, and even the clients that I work with in my virtual assistant business, the clients I support on a daily basis in marketing and social media and all the things, every single client, every person, let's be honest, has commented to me that they feel their concentration and focus has been really negatively impacted by their phone. And they feel like their phone is the biggest distraction that they have in any given day. So if you are listening and you feel the same, this challenge is for you, and I want to share how I'm going in this challenge and what I'm doing, what is making a difference, and how I'm going to change the relationship that I have with my phone in 30 days so that you guys can follow along and do the same as well if you want to give it a go. The things I am doing are fairly simple. Anyone can implement them. Anyone can give them a go. So you can give these a go today or tomorrow if you want to join the challenge with me. When I say simple, don't be surprised if they feel really hard to maintain. And if they do feel really hard to maintain, I want you to go easy on yourself, because it's likely your phone has become a pretty big part of how you run your life. It's how we do a lot of things. It's how we navigate directions to get somewhere. It's how we keep in contact with most of the people in our lives. It's how we work. It's how we set appointments or meetings for our day. It's how we know what the weather's going to be doing. It's how we send emails. It's, you know, a calculator, a camera. It's everything. It's where we listen to books, podcasts, music. It is insane how much we do with our phones now. So in saying that, back to the challenge. We are at day six, and my goodness, pickups are a thing. I have always wanted to change my relationship with my phone, but my screen time never really seemed overly shocking to me. It's always been like a fairly acceptable, like slightly alarming, anywhere between 2 to 4 hours, depending on what I'm doing for the day. However, I use my phone a lot for the work I do to support my social media clients. So I was never really overwhelmingly alarmed from a time perspective, especially if that was a weekday where I was working. So if I clocked up 4 hours of screen time, but I'd spent 2 hours creating reels or scheduling content or, you know, completing analytics for a social media client or engaging, I wasn't really too worried about the other 2 hours. I feel like I always felt like that was a reasonable amount of time throughout the day. But I've always had a sneaking suspicion that my phone is a huge factor in why I've increasingly felt like this seagull in a chip factory when it comes to being able to focus on anything for longer than 5 minutes. And what I have learned after implementing the 3 challenge criteria that I'm using and tracking 4 different challenge outcome areas, and if you want to learn what they are, what the challenge criteria I'm implementing are, and the outcome areas that I'm tracking are, listen to last week's episode. That's where I kind of detail, I set my goals and my criteria for the challenge, and I talk about what I'm doing and why this all started. So listen to last week's episode after you finish this one if you want to hear about the criteria I've set and the outcome areas. This is all sounding very scientific, isn't it? I mean, I am someone who accidentally set fire to a rat in Year 9 science, and the rat was frozen, so it felt kind of impossible. Anyway, science is not my thing, but yes, I am using criteria and I am tracking outcome areas. So what I've learned after evaluating those for just under a week is that screen time is actually not the problem when it comes to how distracted and foggy and unfocused I feel. And it's often not the problem for many of the clients that I work with as well. So most clients that I work with have an average of about 3 hours of screen time a day. So in the context of how we run our lives now, in the context of how we stay in contact, how we do business, how we do work, how we stay in touch with our kids, how we, you know, listen to podcasts, watch videos, navigate to places that we need to go, 3 hours to me feels reasonable. It doesn't feel like this should be responsible for sucking so much of our focus and concentration. But since I've been tracking my phone stats on the daily, I've come to kind of a terrifying realization that my phone hijacks whatever I'm doing at any point throughout the day about every 5 fucking minutes, literally. So according to my iPhone stats, according to the number of pickups I have, so you, where you track your screen time on your iPhone, you can also track pickups, and there's an equivalent on Android, but I don't know what that is because I don't speak that language. I'm sorry. I pick up my phone on average every 5 minutes that I am awake. So if you are feeling your blood pressure and anxiety levels rising like I did while listening to this podcast, and you've been struggling with your focus and concentration for as long as you can remember now, take a breath. You have come to the right place. You are listening to the right podcast episode. So at the end of this podcast, I'm going to share the 5 interventions. We're not even calling them hacks or steps at this point, guys. Like, it's not a hack. It's not a step. It's not a list. It's literally an intervention that I'll be implementing this week to decrease my phone pickups and hopefully increase my capacity for focus and productivity. But before I share the 5 interventions, I'm going to call them phone-terventions. I'm going to be one of those annoying people that makes up my own term. Phone-terventions. But before I share those, I want to share an enormous pre-step or pre-phone-tervention, pre-intervention that I've been working on since I started my phone challenge, which if you are playing along at home, is actually more important than the interventions themselves and will be the difference between whether you implement these interventions for a few days and then ditch them, like a lot of us find ourselves doing when we start new habits, or whether you implement them for the long term. So I want to introduce the pause. The pause is possibly the most powerful mindset tool I have under my productivity belt when it comes to helping you make new habits stick and last longer than 5 minutes. So if you only implement one thing from listening to this episode, make it this. Every time you reach for or pick up your phone, pause. You can even make like a pretty plain colored Canva backdrop with the word pause in bold text and set it as your lock screen. I know it's fancy. Pause and ask yourself, why? Why have I just reached for my phone? So you might have to pause for a few minutes to actually get to the answer. It might be because you're doing a task that you don't really like. It might be because you're doing something that you're not sure how to do. It might be because you're lonely. It might be because you're bored. It might be because your phone made a noise or vibrated or you thought it did. And it's not just you that this happens to. It is a thing. Phantom phone buzzes. It might be because you're tired. It might be because you actually needed to do something like call someone or send a text. Whatever it is, write that down on a piece of paper and keep the paper close to you through the day to record your answers every time you pick up your phone. So having a list of reasons why you're picking up your phone through the day, assuming it's something you want to stop doing, will give you a really clear insight into what is actually behind your distraction and struggle with concentration and focus. So I'm going to be keeping my own list this week and sharing the reasons as part of next week's podcast episode and in my newsletter. I would love to hear yours as well. So if you want to get my weekly newsletter every Monday morning in your inbox, it's a nice little productivity boost for the week, plus just a share from me of what's going on, you can visit cathunter.com/workless. You'll also get my free guide, which is my 5-step framework on getting 5 hours a week back in your life, aka working 5 hours less. And you'll also receive my weekly newsletter after that. So it's a nice little bonus. It's a nice little addendum. If you don't feel like listening to me ramble every single week, you can read me over a coffee in the morning on Monday and kickstart your week right. So now we have talked about the pause. Often the pause is enough to prompt you to put your phone down, unless you actually did need to do something on it, and refocus. So often just asking yourself, why have I picked this up, is enough to kind of jolt you and go, hang on, why have I picked this up? Actually, I don't need to do that right now, and putting it down. But for those times when you are wondering if there is literally a palm-sized magnet inside your screen, here are my 5 phone interventions that I'm implementing this week to decrease my pickups and increase my capacity for focus and productivity. So, phone intervention number 1, the sign on the door. So, DND, or do not disturb, just like the hotel room sign, is your new best friend. Switching your phone on DND when you sit down to work or when you want to focus on something, like a conversation you're having with a friend or a game you're playing with your kids, is one of the fastest ways to kill all those pings and dings so that your brain doesn't have to battle to eliminate them the old-fashioned way. Because a lot of us will just try to not use our phone. A lot of us will say, okay, cool, today I'm just not going to look at it, or today I'm going to ignore the pings and dings. But even if we're successful, all of that ignoring and not looking energy, it still requires a lot from our brain to resist that temptation. It's like if you're a smoker and you say you want to quit, but you're still going to have the cigarette pack next to you, looking at you, staring at you in the face, tempting you with the nicotine and the, I don't know what else is tempting about smoking, I don't smoke, but it is like having the thing that you are trying to get away from next to you, pulling at you all day. Switch on Do Not Disturb. iPhone definitely has Do Not Disturb, and Android I'm sure will have a feature. It's not silent mode, it is Do Not Disturb. It switches notifications off for everything. So if you still need to be contactable for certain people, like say your partner, your kids or your kids' daycare or your school or whatever it is, add these numbers to your favorites list, and you can toggle allow calls from favorites so that you can still, you know, relax into the silence without worrying that you're going to miss your daycare calling to update you on the color of your kids' snot. So do not disturb is your instant new best friend. Phone intervention number two. A step further than do not disturb, move your phone into another room. This is the next step of out of sight, out of mind when it comes to your phone, but a very useful one when it comes to your focus. So research over the last 5 years into smartphone use and productivity shows that just having your phone within sight is one big old distractible weight for your brain to carry. So like I was saying with Do Not Disturb, we want to ease the load that your brain has to carry as much as possible. We already have a huge load on our brain. We need to free this up. We need to free up the energy for the things you actually want to be able to focus on, because God knows we are carrying enough. Like, we are done with the carrying. We don't need any more carry. We are maxed out. We are at our weight limit. So move your phone into another room next to the room that you're working and set it to Do Not Disturb and switch the ringer to loud so that you will still be able to hear your calls from your important contacts. So if the school rings or daycare rings or your kid rings or whatever it is, you'll still hear it without having this peripheral vision pull of your blue light buddy over there in the corner. Phone intervention number three actually involves using your phone, and it is to call a friend. So this sounds fairly contradictory when this podcast is all about ditching your phone, but I've found when I've completed the pause exercise in the past, I'm often looking to my phone for a connection or to combat the isolation of being at home all the time, because I have two small children under four and I work from home. I am at home a lot, guys, a lot. Instead of recouping the pretty diluted dopamine hits, though, from just scrolling, you know, near strangers, let's be honest, on Instagram, I've set a reminder daily to call a friend or a pal I haven't spoken to for a while. And it's actually become something I really look forward to. The call's only for like 10 minutes, so it's not a huge chunk of time. Sometimes it's for longer, and that's really nice. I usually feel really good after these calls. Plus, it's also gotten me past my unexplainable fear and aversion of actual phone calls, which I feel like all of us has developed. What is that about? We are all scared of being on the phone. We're all scared of calling. We love texting and emailing. Like, honestly, I am massively scared of phone calls, and I don't know why. Not like I won't take them or make them. I just have an instant aversion to them. And if you do, that's cool too. I get it. Like, I am the original anti-phone caller, but I've actually found that by calling someone and making it a habit, I am becoming more comfortable with it, and I'm actually really enjoying it. So give this one a go for sure. So phone intervention number four, think like a criminal, guys. Don't be alarmed. This is not the moment that I announce that I'm recruiting for my underground crime squad, although I am, however, floating the idea of purchasing a very cheap burner phone that you can use like a landline at home. So this one might be a little bit different to the phone interventions you've heard me talk about so far on the episode. So the caveat to this one is you only share your burner phone number with the people you want to be able to call or text you at any time. So for example, I recently did this. In the last week, I have purchased a burner and I've given the number to my husband, even though we live in the same house, but still. I am going to give it to my parents, to Brendan's parents, our daycare, and a few close friends. And that is it. No one else will have it, because outside of this group that I'm giving the number to, there is no one that I actually need to hear from past about 8 p.m. every day. And even within this group, no one is calling me after 8 p.m. unless it's an emergency. So this means that I can untether myself from my normal smartphone, put it somewhere else, even turn it off. I know, even just saying that gives me anxiety. and actually have some proper downtime where I'm not consuming doom scrolling or even just texting back and forth, which still keeps our brains fairly active and with kind of a sense of agitation, even if we're enjoying whoever we're texting. So this has made a huge difference so far to how well I've slept over the last week, how relaxed I felt both in the evening and through the day, because I often will just keep my burner phone with me while I work, because even especially if I'm doing deep work and, you know, the only people I would want to hear from are people that, you know, need to be calling me in an emergency or in if something has happened at daycare or whatever it might be. It also means that I don't have it sitting next to my bed all night, which even though I have actually gotten pretty good at not scrolling in bed, just having it there means that it was always really easy to pick up and look at, and this just means I can get rid of all of it, like just get rid of that temptation altogether, but I am still reachable in an emergency. It's also been really good for going for a walk without my phone, because there are lots of people out there who suggest going for walks without your phone, but to me, being female in our patriarchal society, take that how you will, this has always been something that I have never felt 100% safe in doing. So this means I can go for my hot girl walk. Can I still go for a hot girl walk? I don't know. Yeah, I can. I can go for a hot girl walk and still have something that I can call someone with should I be jumped by a rogue koala or something similar. Now, for phone intervention number 5, our last phone intervention, set yourself daily no-fly zones. So just like the airport curfew, guys, establish some times for yourself through the day where you don't have access to your phone. I tried deleting apps and setting time limits on apps. It didn't really cut it for me, though, because the problem most of the time was never really lengthy scrolling sessions or long phone sessions through the day. The problem for me related to the amount of times I pick up my phone and the amount it interrupts me through the day. So even if I'm only holding it for a minute, it still interrupted my focus and my concentration. So now I've established a couple of times in my day where I don't use my phone at all. So my times are from when I wake up at 6 a.m. until about 7:30 or 8, unless I need to check the weather for dressing the girls. That's my only exception. And the second slot I have is in the evening, so after about 8 p.m., which is when I revert to the criminal burner phone that I mentioned in the previous phone intervention. So I'm also toying with the idea of a phone-free Sunday. This is something I haven't implemented yet because I think there is a huge element of overload that can often come with challenging yourself and changing your habits to any degree. So I've left that one out as an official kind of intervention for now, but it's definitely something that I'm open to trialing in the future. I think it could be really nice. Whenever I've done phone-free days before, whether it's by accident or on purpose, I've found it has dramatically changed how present I feel. So my mood, my anxiety levels, how distracted I am with the kids. So if you're keen to try something like this, I definitely suggest even just giving it a go for a few hours at first or half a day and seeing how you feel. So there we are. We're at day 6. Jesus, what was I even trying to say then? Day six. And it is phone intervention city here, people. So hopefully if you are playing along at home, you found those phone interventions helpful. I hope you will try maybe even just one or two of them this week. Don't feel like you have to commit to all 5, or if you really want to get into it and go the whole hog, try all 5 and see how you go. Remember, this is supposed to be a fun way of just playing with what happens when you change the way that you do things on a daily basis, seeing what happens to your focus, seeing what happens with how present you are, and seeing if you are a little more productive in the times that you want to be productive without feeling like you have to keep being productive when you don't want to be. So please share with me how you're going, what you're struggling with, or what you are loving so far if you are working alongside me and changing your relationship with your phone. You can send me a DM on Instagram at cathunter.va, or if you subscribe to my newsletter at cathunter.com/workless, you can reply to any of the emails I send you and let me know. I'd love to hear from you. I'd also love to hear what's on your pause list for this week and if you notice any changes when it comes to how much you want to pick up your phone, your focus, your concentration, and your capacity to feel present in whatever you might be doing. So that's it for this week, guys. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Until next week, my little possums. Goodness me, I don't know where that came from. See, I am old. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I will chat to you next week. Bye.